you worship have an impact on the rest of our lives. So let's begin by watching the video put together by LICC.
Forgive us, Lord, for the words we speak that cause fear, exclude others, twist the truth, diminish, divide, and destroy. Words that roar, words that clang like cymbals but bring no clarity. Words that make us sound powerful but are void of love. Teach us your words of healing and hope, thankfulness and grace, justice and truth, wisdom and love, forgiveness and blessing. Let our words be your words. Touch our mouths with your coal and purify our speech. Teach us a new language when we are gathered. When we are scattered, let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet.
As I prepared this bit, I've obviously had a little look at this video a couple of times, and each time the line that struck me is one of the last ones: let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet. Let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet. What a beautiful picture that is. An idea that as we breathe out, something of God permeates the places we find ourselves. But I guess that sometimes the pattern of worship that we have here can feel a bit detached from normal life. That is kind of everything that we do when we're not here. And though last week we thought about how we can be intentional about the whole of our lives being worship, perhaps we first have to come back to these times of gathered worship and think about how our worship is connected to real life. You see, we thought about words already and their meanings, and that's a word we use. We use the word worship a lot. And last week I shared some definitions of that. Began with a definition that spoke about worship being about gathering in a religious building and saying prayers and singing. And I hope that we kind of had perhaps got ourselves to a place last week that we realised that we continue to worship God when we walk out the door of this building. It's just a very different shape. But the thing is, the worship that we do here really matters. It's really important. And the words that we use here are also really important. And so we can find ourselves using words or images that aren't related to perhaps what an ordinary everyday lives. Let's take Psalm 23 as an example. So Tony, if you'd like to come and read us Psalm 23, that would be wonderful. Enjoy the picture of the shepherd and sheep while he's coming down.
So the reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Lovely. So, let me just check. The Lord is my shepherd, that's true. I think we could acknowledge that. But given that we find our church in a city, I haven't seen many shepherds or sheep around. Has anybody else? Is there a local field I have missed? No. Now, you see, David wrote Psalm 23 with real insight because he was a shepherd. He understood about sheep and the dangers and all the rest of it. Anyone been anointed recently? Had oil poured on top of them? That's another one. That's another sort of imagery from here. Then this isn't our lived experience. We don't wander, where we live in a city with roads and houses and buildings. We haven't got sheep and fields and shepherds. They're not a lived experience. Another song, then the song My Lighthouse came to mind. That's by the band Rend Collective, and the chorus says this: my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Not least that lighthouses are supposed to keep you away from the shore rather than lead you to the shore, unless you've got, I think it's two either to direct you anyway. That's another issue. Lighthouses, anyone got what, seen one recently? Like local? Any shore? See? No. Given that Birmingham is about 40 miles from Tidewater in Gloucester and the nearest resort is at least twice as far, lighthouses and shorelines and beaches are not our everyday experience. So I began this morning by thinking about what kind of road has brought us here. So I think we'd be mindful to think about the places that we've been this week and how we get there and back. And I wonder if we could consider perhaps a rewrite of Psalm 23. So this is where I'm going to invite Heather to come and share this with us. The words are up the front if you need them. Sorry? Yeah, it's all right. Okay. I'm just inviting Heather down, that was all. It's all right. It's fine. It's all good. So it was just a case of inviting her. We're going to have a rewrite of Psalm 23 that's perhaps more kind of relevant to our ordinary everyday. I'm going to give credit to the author, who's Amy Boucher-Pye. So, Heather, could you read us a slightly alternative version to Psalm 23?
Psalm 23, rewritten. The Lord is my sat-nav. I shall not be diverted. He makes me stay on course for my sanity's sake. He helps me gaze on my life's journey and makes me aware of others on the journey too. When I take wrong turns and moves because of life's distractions, he recalculates my step and sends me back on the road. I will trust in his guidance and concern. My confidence is enhanced. He reminds me of all the dangers of the road. He nudges me every time I doze off behind the wheel. He assures me of his presence and calms me down, always keeping me safe. Surely, his guidance and direction will comfort me all the days of my life. I will trust and lean on his leading forever and ever.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting, however, that we throw out all the biblical imagery, don't get me wrong, of all the songs that have been written, because we can't kind of quite get the imagery and it's all a little bit alternative. Because I think we can understand what we're on about if we take a little bit of time to think about it and explain about the images and the words that we're using. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is I think we need to make our gathered worship and what our lived experience outside church, we need that more connected. It needs to be more rooted in on what we know. Because we live in a busy world, and the kinds of things that we are experiencing are very different to perhaps of those of the biblical writers. That's supposed to be there. So the truth is that our experience of God and how we talk to him and how he connects to us, it really matters. Because as we worship in song, in silence, in word, whatever we do, together we get a bigger sense of who God is and how he's involved in our everyday lives. See, God's not separate to our lives here. He's part of it. He's part of our lives with our smartphones and technology, with our cars and our coffee shops and our supermarkets. A very different world to where God's word was crafted. But in a sense, it's also a world that's still very similar, because it's a world that continues to demonstrate so much that is opposite to the ways of God. In a world that responds too often with anger and distrust, together here, when we gather, we learn words that are about loving and forgiving. In a world that responds to suffering with indifference or despair, we gather, we learn words that help us to meet that and with sadness with hope. In a world where those who are different to us are often alienated and ostracized, we learn words of welcome, of family. And we're to take these words with us when we go into a broken and fractured world. We are to breathe God's kingdom into being in our words and our actions. If something goes well, whether that's at work or home or out and about, we are to give thanks to God. If something that we see something that makes our hearts ache, we are not to despair, but to come to God and pray and ask him to act in his mercy. But it's not just about what happens to other people, it's about what happens to us. And we recognize that we can have the good times, we can have the tough times. These are our kind of the dark valleys that the psalmist talks of. They're our dark valleys, but we can make our way through if we come to God. If we're going through something that perhaps makes us feel powerless, we're to come to God and cry out to him. To cry out to him for whatever it is that we need to go through what we're going through. And the reason for that is because being people of faith is not a kind of get out of difficulty card. But the reality is instead that God walks with us through the mess, through the difficult times. And the verses from the Bible that are inspiring this message this morning were written by James. And he was a man who had a vision for life lived differently, where people were seen, were valued, were raised up, and words were used with care to encourage and not put down. So I'm going to read these verses, 13 to 16, and with a focus on how our living differently as people of faith is really important. So this is what James wrote. Is any one of you among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. See, everyone has a part in this. As a community of faith, we are dependent on each other. We are to pray for one another. In the good times where we rejoice and celebrate, in the tough times we're called to support one another and cry with one another if that needs to. See, James is encouraging us to be people who are willing to be vulnerable and open with one another. And while that's not always easier, the more we get to know each other, the easier that becomes. And the wider, I suppose, the more we listen to one another and hear each other pray and speak those words of encouragement, the better and more varied our vocabulary of faith becomes. But you see, I think we have a fairly good vocabulary of praise and thanks in our times of worship. But what about the tough stuff? We recognise that the worship we do here is different to that we do out there, so to speak. But we need to make sure that what we do here, we need to kind of reduce the divide between the two. Because if we don't face up to the realities of life with all its ups and downs here as gathered folk, then when we're out there and we're scattered, it just makes it so much more tricky. And perhaps we won't have those words and vocabulary to bring those situations to God. See, the Psalms, I guess, are a case in point, because sometimes people describe the Psalms as the songbook of the Bible. And it feeds our worship songs, and we started with words from Psalms this morning. Their language shapes our prayers. That's not to say the rest of the Bible is not important, far from it. I'm picking Psalms because there is a lot of praise and thanksgiving in Psalms. But there's also a significant proportion of lament, which is another of these churchy kind of worshipy words that we kind of go, we use, but perhaps do we really know what it means? But it's the passionate expression of grief and sorrow. It's not common elsewhere. And I will confess that we don't have time to dig into a full understanding of exactly what lament is. Perhaps that's something we can come back to another time, or you can perhaps go and do some research yourself. But to lament is to bring our confusion, our sadness about whatever the situation we find ourselves in or we know about to God. Because of our relationship with God, we can cry out to him and we can trust him to act. Now, in the midst of the pandemic, the theologian Nigel Wright wrote about lament, because it was a time when I think a lot of us spent a lot of time thinking and reevaluating things. And he suggested that we should try and resist the temptation to offer an explanation for what we're going through, but instead that we're invited to lament what it is that we're going through. You know, we come before God in spite of, perhaps because of our lack of understanding of what's going on. And he wrote this quote. He said, "It's no part of the Christian vocation then to be able to explain what's happening and why. In fact, it's part of the Christian vocation not to be able to explain and to lament instead. And as the Spirit laments within us, so we become small shrines where the presence and healing love of God can dwell. And out of there can emerge new possibilities, new acts of kindness, new understanding, new hope." So lament is an act of worship. So it's in this sense of, in the midst of our difficulties and problems, we come to God, we cry out to him because we believe he has the power to act, to bring about change, or at the very least be actively present with us through what we're going through. But lament isn't just about our personal struggles, it's about us together. It's about us standing with one another when we know that they're having a tough time. And that follows Jesus' example, because he went through the, even as he went through the pain of death on the cross, he cried out to God using words of Psalm 22, which was an expression of lament for his situation. And as he died, for all of humanity, his death in itself was the ultimate prayer of solidarity with those who are suffering. So given that Psalms that Jesus himself used to express his deepest feelings reflect this whole range of emotions, from praise and thanksgiving to fear and sadness and desperation, I wonder if our gathered times really hold that same diversity. We sang "Blessed Be Your Name" earlier. It really highlights that life isn't straightforward, and I'm really glad that we have that song in our repertoire. But I'll be really honest and say that was a song I couldn't actually sing for a while a few years ago. I had a really, really difficult personal circumstance, and I could not sing the words "You give and take away." But as I joined gathered worship and others sang those words for me, if you like, and expressed the truth of the faith to me as I stood amongst them. And in fact, during this painful time in my life, I ended up at a really big Christian worship event. But despite being surrounded by thousands of other people of faith, I just couldn't face singing at all. And later wrote this reflection that Andy will come and share with us.
One among many. Surrounded by thousands of worshipping people, I stand alone before you. I hear their voices raised in worship, yet I stand in silence. I see their hands lifted towards you, yet my hands remain still. How am I to worship tonight alone amid the throng, or give you praise with no voice, or make an offering with static hands? I could walk away from this uneasy place, but by simply being here, one among many, this is my worship.
I honestly can't remember what songs are being sung. And perhaps the worship might have just been too crazy for how I was feeling. But just as we have to recognise that we need the language to tell God that life is difficult, it's really important, so too, that we have to recognise that sometimes we don't have the capacity to engage in worship at all. It's simply enough effort to be here in the first place. And that's when the community of God comes into its own. Because it expresses worship for us, on behalf of us, when we are unable to do so. Don't get me wrong, praise of God and expressing our thanks to God is really important, but we need to be intentional about God at the heart of our gatherings, and recognizing that our personal circumstances feed into how we're feeling and as we come. We are stronger when we're scattered because of this gathered worship. We need to be honest that we don't always have it easy in our journey of faith with God. but that when we come and gather together, it gives us the tools and the language to manage it, to bring it before God. Remember the video at the beginning talked about breathing. That was the one about. I got that one. Where's it gone? Oh, too far. There was supposed to be a picture before that one, but there it's disappeared. We breathe in and breathe out. It was supposed to say inhale and exhale. We're talking about letting our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet. But that's true among us as well. We need to let the language of heaven breathe into the lives of those we meet here as well as outside. Because the message of heaven is one of hope. It's a hope that we all need. It's a hope that we can express when things are going right, but also when all things feel hopeless. And then as God's people, we can breathe out that message of hope. When we've breathed it out here and sensed it here, we can take that with us when we go. So this is going to lead us into a time of prayer. And we're going to take some time to listen to some worship songs and pray together, being real about the situation that the world is in right now and the situations that we find ourselves in. There are a few things that have been on my mind this week. And firstly, it's Renew Wellbeing Sunday. So we're going to start with a focus on that ministry, both across the UK and in its expression here at YBC that meets on a Thursday lunch, morning, afternoon, over lunch. We've then got the general election coming up on this Thursday, and we'll take a few minutes to pray about that. And then we're going to give some time over to what we're going through personally as a church community and as individuals. And there'll be, I'm warning at the end, there'll be time for, if you would like to have someone come and pray with you, then there'll be a space at the front if you'd like to come forward for that then. Each of the sections of focus is going to have a song. They may not be familiar to you, but I've chosen them because of the words. They come from a group called Resound Worship, who have created a collection created specifically to address the difficult things in life. And the intent of the songwriters was to create honest expressions of sorrow and struggle and pain and give voice to perhaps some of the questions and lament that we have. So I'm going to begin by sharing a bit about what we're going to focus on and then open a time for prayer, after which we're going to listen to a song. As we come to each of those times of prayer, there will be opportunity for one or two to pray out loud, but I'm going to bring the microphone to you for that so everyone can hear. So we'll start with thinking about Renew, if I can get a call up the next one. PowerPoint's decided to be fun at this point, Joe, if we can go to the Renew Wellbeing, that one. So I'm going to share a little video that they've put together. And we're going to pray for the work of Renew once we've heard a little bit about the space, because it might be something, if you don't come to Renew, you might wonder what on earth we're talking about. So this shapes a little bit of what Renew Wellbeing is, and then we'll come to a time of prayer, but I'll introduce that once we've watched the video. If you can start the video, if it behaves itself. Pardon?
Renew Wellbeing, an end to isolation and better mental health for all. In a nation where mental and emotional well-being is a real and growing concern, Renew Wellbeing is encouraging, supporting and equipping churches to set up simple, safe and sustainable spaces where it's okay not to be okay. Being present, being prayerful and being in partnership are the three key principles behind each Renew space. Being present is about being there and journeying with others, offering company and a chat over a cuppa, or sharing hobbies and activities that anyone can join in with. Renew spaces are places of welcome and inclusion where people can connect and belong. Prayer is the heartbeat of any Renew space. Each space has a quiet area that can be used for peaceful reflection at any time, and also optional times of gathered prayer for those who wish to join in. To ensure each Renew space sticks to its simple offer of being present, we encourage partnering with mental health services, someone who works in the area and knows how to access additional support if needed. Here are some quotes that our regulars have shared about their experiences of using a Renew space.
Of all the things I do each week, Renew is the one I hate to miss.
Just coming into this space is a real blessing.
You have no idea what a difference Friday mornings have made to my confidence
and self-esteem. They have changed an isolated, withdrawn old lady into one who feels ready to face the world. Renew Wellbeing. Simple, safe, sustainable spaces where it's okay not to be okay.
So we have an expression, as I say, of Renew Wellbeing here that meets on a Thursday. So we're just going to take a moment to pray for the team who operate that, perhaps for the charity as a whole, as they have all the different spaces across the country now, as the charity expands this in different places and spaces. So just an opportunity to pray for the team, pray for those who come, and to pray for the work of Renew. As I say, we'll just give a moment or two and then we'll listen to a song. But if you'd like to pray for the work of Renew, then I'll come and bring you the handheld mic so we can hear you. Let's pray.
Lord, thank you for the time and the energy that the folk that run Renew Wellbeing here at Yardley put into this each week. Thank you for their faithfulness, and thank you for their reliability and their determination. And I thank you that through the work that goes on behind the scenes, a gorgeous, beautiful space has been created for people that need it. I pray for the well-being of the people that organise it and put it together, and I pray that they are able to use that space themselves with your wisdom. I pray for the people who come, and I thank you that they get to enjoy this safe space and safe welcome and relaxed, gentle place. For their sake, but in your name. So bless it, and it's Thursdays, and for all the time and effort that goes in beforehand, and for clearing up, etc. afterwards. Continue to bless it, Lord, and continue to bless its good work. Amen.
And so too we pray for the work of Renew Wellbeing across the country in all the different places and spaces that these safe spaces take place. We pray for all those who do, a part of all the different teams as well, for all those whose lives are touched and where they have a safe space to be. Thank you, Lord, for the heart behind Renew Wellbeing. Amen.
Tears, your only food. You're not alone in your anguish. He weeps with you. He weeps with you. Unbounded agony, and tears grow.
silent, lay bare your deepest wounds. He hears your cries with compassion and pleads for you. He pleads for you. His heart can bear
So this Thursday, our country goes to the polls in the general election, and we are reminded that in 1 Timothy 2 that God calls us to pray for those with oversight. Timothy writes, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, thanksgiving, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of God. Of the truth. So we're going to pray for those who are up for election, for voters, for administrators, for the media, for our country as a whole. And to help us pray are some prompts provided by the Joint Public Issues Team. I'm going to go one more on. Thank you. There we are. I'm not going to read those through. They're just there as prompts. And again, this is the Joint Public Issues Team, if you're not aware of what that is, a joint initiative between the Baptist Union of Great Britain, the Methodist Church, and the United Reformed Church, whose aim is to support churches to work together for peace and justice. So with all credit to them for these points this morning. So just, an opportunity for people to pray for a moment or two, and then we'll listen to a song.
Father God, in recent days we've heard half-truths, we've had promises that couldn't possibly happen. There is, as you know, gross distrust in the whole setup. Father, I want to pray that in each individual constituency, the best of the bunch will be voted in. And Father, I want to pray for a country where we will work together rather than trying to divide one person against another. In Jesus' name, amen.
there are those who make it a profession to lie about everybody. Be cautious and help people to find a way through to the actual truth, so that may be able to make an informed decision. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the
our final space this morning is an opportunity for prayer for ourselves, for anything you're particularly going through personally or for others who you know who are going through a tough time. This time I'm not going to throw the mic open, I'm just going to invite you to pray quietly where you are, and we're going to play a song straight away, because for some, they won't want someone to pray with you, and you might have someone sitting next to you who can do that for you, but if you would like someone to pray with you, then this front row is available. So if you'd like to come down to the front as this next song plays, and someone will come and sit with you and pray with you about whatever issue it is that you need prayer for this morning. So pray for ourselves, for others around us, for those you know who are in difficult circumstances.
Oh, sisters and brothers, be strong, do not lose heart. Though you weep and you suffer, and the road you walk is hard, let the grace of another become your path. May Jesus hold you through your grief. Though weeping may come in the night, there'll be joy in the morning. When the taste of our tears is replaced with the feast of the Lord. And our enemy death consumed in the blaze of God's glory, and our grief will be no more. We are heavy with sorrow, but this burden will not last. There is joy yet to follow, there is glory unsurpassed, and our strength for tomorrow is our perfect hope in Christ. May Jesus lead you through your life. And though weeping may come in the night, there'll be joy in the morning. When the taste of our tears is replaced with the feast of the Lord. And our enemy death is consumed in the blaze of God's glory, and our grief will be no more. Though weeping may come in the night, there'll be joy in the morning. When the taste of our tears is replaced with the feast of the Lord. And our enemy death is consumed in the blaze of God's glory. And our grief will be no more.
We're going to gather up our times of prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer, but in a change to us just saying the words together. As the words come up on screen, you'll see there's a part for you to say which is familiar, and then some words that I will say. So be as we go through the Lord's Prayer, we're going to take just a bit of a pause and use these extra words just to, I suppose, just to give us a cause to think. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, but with these pauses in between. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We give you the glory as Lord over every part of our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come in our workplaces and our homes. May your will be done in the places where we live our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. You are our true provider. Remind us of this as we work, cook, care, and share. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We confess our everyday mistakes and failures. Help us to act towards the people we meet in the same gracious way you act towards us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Guide us, Holy Spirit, in the places we find ourselves, to walk in your ways and act in your will. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. This is all about you. We submit our plans, our ambitions, our lives to your will as offerings of worship, now and forever. Amen. And so we come to our final song this morning. That is a reminder that Christ is our cornerstone, our strength throughout the whole of our lives. And do, again, stand as you're able and we'll sing together. My hope is built on nothing less.